Welcome to the 23rd edition of What Would You Do? NBA offseason edition for this team that we'll be talking about in this 23rd edition. That team is the Boston Celtics. Now, before we get into discussing all the moves the Boston Celtics made, Caleb, where can all the listeners of this podcast find all the great work that you do?
You can find me on Instagram at @1CalebConnett. You can find me on Twitter at @CalebConnett2. Click the link in the bio, and you can find other things too. You got the link tree. You got Change the Narrative wristbands, Change the Narrative _ on Instagram. You know, check the website out, copy a wristband. Jewels and Gems podcast every Thursday. You dig that? And, you know, MCS Road Sports podcast. You know, I'm here, we here, we out everywhere. Where can they find us, Matt? Where can they find you? Let them know.
Well, you can find my Twitter at @Matt_Scura. You can find my Instagram at @Matt_Scura19. And you could find this podcast, like Kayla mentioned, everywhere. We're available, whether you're listening to it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, you name it. We are available everywhere you guys listen to. And now that we got to where you can find us, let's get into the Boston Celtics moves that they made during the offseason. The Boston Celtics had themselves quite a season last year. They made it all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals once again for the third time in 4 years, but they once again fell short of making it to the NBA Finals. They lost to the Miami Heat in 6 games last year in the Eastern Conference Finals, and they made a lot of moves. One of the big moves that they made, we even discussed last episode when we talked about the Charlotte Hornets, it was the sign and trade for Gordon Hayward. They moved on from Gordon Hayward from the Celtics. Now he's with the Charlotte Hornets. Caleb, were you surprised that the Boston Celtics did the sign and trade of Gordon Hayward to Charlotte?
A little bit, because it was at times they were talking about like he was trying to go to Indiana. That sign and trade was heavy. It didn't fall through, I guess. And I think Atlanta became another option for him. But Charlotte, they just cleared out the money really fast, put themselves in competition for him, and they got him. And he wanted to go back. He didn't want to go back, but he wanted to go there and play. I mean, they definitely have a nice young team out in Charlotte. So on their side, I think it was a good trade for him. And then, I mean, on Boston's side, they get the exception back in that trade. So that means that they could do a lot as far as, like, trading for a big player and, you know, adding young guys that don't have the money to amount to that cap space trade type of thing. They could use that exception. So I think it puts them in position to land a top player. So maybe you may see them use that exception in a James Harden trade. You never know. How do you feel about this?
I wasn't surprised at this move at all. Mm. I thought when Gordon Hayward came back from his injury, he was kind of a misfit. The reason why he was a misfit was because all of the young guys that they have turned out and developed fantastically. I mean, you look at Jason Tatum, the emergence that he has gone through in his years in the NBA has been phenomenal. Jaylen Brown is turning into a superstar. Marcus Smart has been phenomenal. And Gordon Hayward was, you know, simply trying to fit in. And he didn't really fit into the fold in Boston when he came back from injury. And I think the Celtics decided what was best was just to move on from Hayward and just essentially give him the money that he wants and then use that in a sign and trade for Charlotte. So, you know, I personally was not surprised by it. I think it's a good move for both sides. You look at Charlotte, they get a star piece in Hayward. And you're looking for Boston. They essentially made it to the conference finals almost without him. So, I mean, they're pretty much keeping the same core. You still have Tatum, still have Brown, still got Smart. They're still going to be competing in the Eastern Conference for the long haul. And with that in mind, let's talk about their free agency moves that they made. Really, we're not that active in the free agent market, but when they make moves, they make moves. They signed Tristan Thompson in free agency, as well as Jeff Teague. Caleb, What are you kind of your thoughts when you hear the Boston Celtics go after those veteran players, a champion center in Tristan Thompson and a veteran point guard in Jeff Teague? What kind of message does that send to you to what the Boston Celtics are doing?
They're trying to win now, you know? They're trying to win now. They're definitely trying to win now. I think Tristan Teague, I think Tristan Thomas, that signing was long overdue. Like, they were trying to get him a long time ago. So I think that was a little bit overdue. Teague is an amazing athletic playmaking point guard to have behind Kemba when his injuries go down. So shit really doesn't change too much in how they really play the game of basketball. So I think they're going to be solid on that end. I just am a little worried that, you know, that they're kind of running out of time. Teague and Tristan just aren't who they were 2 years ago. If you got those guys 2 years ago on your team now, I mean, they're almost a championship contender just because, you know, you almost have two all-stars on the bench, but those guys, I think, are past that, and it'll be cool to see how they get worked into the system, you know, because it's going to be a lot different than everywhere else. You feel me? How do you feel about that, especially with Brad Stevens, you know, the way he coaches? How do you think he's going to use T with the bench or the starting lineup, you know?
I think he's going to utilize those players to be coming off the bench. I think what's going to be interesting is how are the Celtics going to work with Tristan Thompson and Daniel Tice. You know, we kind of saw Tice and Kanter kind of work things out. Is this going to be the same situation with Tice and Thompson? That'll be something we'll have to wait and see. But I like these signings by Boston. I think, you know, they're kind of a team to where they're pretty much going to be reliant on basically Kemba, Tatum, Brown, all that kind of stuff. But with their additions of Thompson and Teague, that's essentially going to help out their bench, kind of needing those solid guys coming off the bench. Because you look at when Daniel Tice was hurt, or whenever he did get hurt, you know, could you rely on Kanter? Yeah, you could rely on Kanter somewhat, but if Kanter isn't putting up numbers, then really what good is he going to do? You know, it's also going to be interesting how Robert Williams is going to fit in. Are we going to see more Robert Williams at the power forward position, and then they're just going to have Tice and Thompson be as the two centers? You know, that's going to be interesting to see how Boston's able to handle that. I think it helps with their possible championship run. I mean, you look at, I've mentioned time and time again in previous episodes, whenever I do top teams in the East, you know, Boston is right there. I kind of like the number three spot. You know, they're still going to be a competitive team. Brad Stevens is going to get these guys to compete. And I think the addition of Thompson and Teague is going to help that out, whether they have Thompson start at center or come off the bench, or, you know, have Teague be a possible six man. You know, that's going to be the interesting thing to see what Boston's able to do, but they're still going to be a team that's going to be competing for a championship. Let's move on to the draft side of things. The Boston Celtics, they had two first round picks. With their first pick in the first round, with the 13th pick, they selected Aaron Nesmith. Aaron Nesmith he was a power forward, 6'6", 213. Caleb, you look at that addition by the Boston Celtics, Aaron Nesmith with a 13th pick. Were you shocked that Boston selected him with that 13th pick?
No, I kind of got a feeling that he was going to go kind of high. I shout out to Nick Andre again. We wrote an article on Nesmith as well. I read his article on him, and I was like, oh, yeah. You know, Nesmith might go a little higher than I thought. So he was the one who gave me that peep on that. And I wasn't surprised. He fits well with the offense. They don't need any more guards. They don't need any more, you know, scorers. So, I mean, he definitely fits well with them, and I'm excited to see how he fits. So, I wasn't too surprised that they went with him right there. It was a good pick. I think it was a good pick.
Yeah, I agree with you as well. I think it's a good pick as well. You know, adds depth at the forward position, you know, helps out helps out Boston with the bench. You know, I mean, like they say, the more the merrier. I mean, the more kind of style you have off the bench, the better you are suited as a team. And, you know, when you're a team like Boston that's trying to compete, trying to win a championship, you know, any draft pick kind of helps out, you know, for that squad to try and help ascend themselves over teams like Milwaukee or Brooklyn. You know, those are going to be the teams that Boston's going to want to try and compete, try and get over the hump. I mean, this team, they've consistently made it to the finals, the Eastern Conference Finals. Like I mentioned before, in 3 times in 4 years, they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. They just haven't gotten over the hump yet. Hopefully these moves could help Boston get over that hump and finally compete in an NBA Finals for the first time in almost 12 years. Let's move on to their other draft pick that they made with the 26th pick in the 2020 NBA draft. The Boston Celtics selected Peyton Pritchard, the point guard out of Oregon. Caleb, what are your thoughts on this move by the Boston Celtics? Did they make the right decision drafting a point guard, Peyton Pritchard, out of Oregon?
When they first kind of drafted him, I was like, I don't know if it was the right pick. Partly that's because I didn't know too much about him myself. But then I figured it out, and dude could ball. Like, watching him in summer league, he can ball. He kind of just seems like he was one of those guys that, you know, stayed at his school for a while and just knows how to play ball at any level now. So I think he could be immediate help. Just because, you know, Kemba's out right now, so he's going to have to step up a little bit. And he's able to, you know, hold his own out there. So I think that was a stellar pick as well. Somebody that that people should have their eye on for sure.
Yeah, you definitely make a lot of great points there. I think this was a steal pick at 26. I thought he would slightly go a little higher. But I also think what's going to be interesting is how much playing time will Pritchard get? Especially with the signing of Jeff Teague. I mean, you look at Peyton Pritchard is pretty much going to be, you know, that third string point guard, you know, on the Boston Celtics. How is that essentially going to work out? That would be kind of my question to the Boston Celtics. You know, how are you going to incorporate, you know, Peyton Pritchard into that lineup? I mean, it's not like you can put him as a backup shooting guard because you got Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart already there at the 1 and 2. And even from your point guard's perspective, you got pretty much Kemba Walker, Jeff T. I think this pick and Peyton Pritchard, I think it'll be one of those, well, we'll have to wait and see in the next 2 to 3 years to see how good he can become. But I think that draft pick, you know, it's good. You know, it's not like it's a bad pick. I just think it's one of those to where you already signed Jeff Teague to basically be that backup point guard, and you add another one in Peyton Pritchard. Will he be a guy that will get a lot of playing time? No, but I think he'll definitely be a guy to where, you know, if Jeff T gets hurt or if Kemba gets hurt, we'll probably see more playing time for him to help to maybe help out Boston trying to compete for a championship.
Definitely, definitely. I hope so. I definitely hope so. I think he could be a great addition. You hit all the points there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's definitely hope that he'll be a great addition for the Boston Celtics. And to close out this edition of What Would You Do? NBA Offseason Edition featuring the Boston Celtics. Caleb, where do you think the Boston Celtics will match up this upcoming season? Can you believe that will the Boston Celtics get over the hump and finally make it to the NBA Finals? Or will they fall just short of a championship appearance?
I think they're falling just short again. I really do. I just don't think they can make it. They have the talent on paper. No doubt. They have the heart on the court, but I just don't think it's enough to get over the hump in the East for some reason. So I'm going to say, no, they fall just short of a championship appearance again.
Now, for Falling Short, do you think they'll at least make it to the Eastern Conference Finals or the NBA Finals? Or do you think they'll get bounced in the second round?
Eastern Conference Finals or second round. One of those two. But I say, right now, I say second round.
Mm. All right. Definitely interesting case change, there.
Subject to change.
Yeah, definitely is subject to change. I have to agree with you as well. I think they fall a little short.
Mm-hmm.
I think Boston needs to make a move to get a superstar. I mean, they kept the same core of Tatum, Brown, and Smart for a couple of years. And I've mentioned in previous episodes, you know, sometimes you got to break up a core to bring in a championship, to bring in a superstar player. Boston's going to need to do that to try and win a championship. They need to break off some pieces to get a superstar like a Bradley Beal to the Boston Celtics. Because if we're being honest here, the Celtics could have damn well made a move to get Anthony Davis.
I mean, what's wrong with JB, though?
I mean, there's nothing wrong with Jaylen Brown. I'm just saying trying to get that superstar piece, whether that's a James Harden, whether that's a Bradley Beal, or just anybody in general. Sometimes when you're in the NBA business, you got to make a tough decision on trying to bring in that superstar to get over the hump. Because my standpoint is, I think the Celtics are going to fall short in the Eastern Conference Finals again. I think they had their chance to make it to the finals last year. Miami just simply wanted it more. Miami just simply wanted to win that series more than Boston did. And it did not help that Bam Adebayo made probably one of the greatest postseason blocks I've ever seen, where he just shut down Tatum from going to the rim. That changed the series. Because you look at Miami was already up 1-0 at that point. If Tatum slams it home, tie game, who knows what happens in overtime. But Bam Adebayo blocks it. Miami goes up 2-0. And that series was essentially over. Miami went up 3-1. Boston trying to make a comeback, but it fell just a little short. I think they're going to fall short again. I think they're going to fall to either Milwaukee or to Brooklyn in that Eastern Conference Finals. Whoever is that number one seed, that's who I think they'll fall short to. Just because they don't really have that big name superstar piece. I mean, they have guys that can be, but not guys that are a solidified superstar. Like for Brooklyn, they have two solidified stars in KD and Kyrie. The Milwaukee Bucks, they added a solidified superstar in Drew Holiday to pair up with Giannis Antetokounmpo. On top of that, they have Chris Middleton. Boston is one of those teams to where they got a superstar that can be a superstar in Jason Tatum. They got Jaylen Brown, but then it's essentially who else? There really is nothing else there. Now, if they
Kemba.
I mean, they got Kemba Walker as well, but I think it's one of those to where if they could find a way to get James Harden on the Boston Celtics, I think we'll be having a different conversation. But for right now, I think they're positioned to be a team to where they can make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, but they'll most likely fall short to either the Milwaukee Bucks or the Brooklyn Nets. Now, if they can make it to the NBA Finals, I still think they'll fall short in the NBA Finals because I think they'll probably have to go up against the Lakers. And I personally think the Lakers roster is better than the Boston Celtics roster at the moment from starting five all the way down. So I think Boston falls short, but they're definitely in the right path. I mean, I think there are some teams that are bought in now. Boston's bought in now and in the future. I mean, you look at Brooklyn, they're pretty much reliant on KD and Kyrie the next 2 years, and they're not getting any younger. The Milwaukee Bucks went all in this season on Drew Holiday. On top of that, they got Giannis and Middleton. So they're pretty much all in with those three. Boston, they're all in with Kemba, but they have a bunch of young players that can develop well and do well. So, granted, I think it's going to suck when Boston falls short again. I mean, they're probably a team where they can make it to the Eastern Conference Finals for the fourth time in 5 years. But I think they'll be looking at it like, hey, 2-3 years down the road when the Eastern Conference gets a little older, when Milwaukee gets a little older, when Brooklyn gets a little older, that's going to be our time to where we take over the Eastern Conference. That's what I personally think is going to happen with the Boston Celtics.
Hey, that's a good take. That's a good take. It's a hot take, but it's a good take. Can't disagree with you. I can see that happening for him as well.
Yeah, it's one of those flaming good takes. How about this? A sizzling take.
Yeah.
It's not quite hot, but it's not too cold either. It's right in the middle, right in that sizzle range.
Exactly.
That part. And with that, that will close out the 23rd edition of What Would You Do? NBA Offseason Edition, featuring the Boston Celtics. I am Matt Skura. That is my great friend, Caleb Connett. We are signing off.